Welcome back to the Beyond the OPS Baseball Podcast. As always, I will be your host, Ethan. And the Rays might have made one of the most underrated trades of the offseason. Let's take a dive right into it. Before we actually get into the move that was made, all of these trades and moves, Devin Williams, Kyle Tucker, the move that we're going to be talking about in a couple of seconds, just makes you get so hyped for the baseball season. We're a little over 3 months away, but you get to see some new faces on some new teams, teams like the A's, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, getting better, bolstering the rotation, and it's just so exciting that baseball is just a few months away. We just got to get through this little lull, and we will finally be watching our favorite teams play the game that we all love. But what trade are we going to be talking about today? Joe Boyle, Jacob Waters, and Will Simpson were traded to the Tampa Bay Rays along with a competitive balance round A pick to the Oakland A's for Jeffrey Springs and Jacob Lopez. I want to first focus on what the A's are getting because as Rays fans or anyone's, you know, that's really watching knows a little bit about Jeffrey Springs. When he is on, he has one of the best changeups in Major League Baseball. High whiff percentage. I know it kind of got hit pretty hard last year, but you know, 30 to 40% whiff rate, pretty decent fastball. Did get kind of lost last year with the velocity from his arm injury, but you're getting one of the best changeups in all of Major League Baseball. And prior to his injury, was looking like one of the top five, top 10 left-handed pitchers in the game. If he's able to rebound, you know, get a good spring training, go into the Oakland A's, potential pitching lab, see what they're going to do with him. But I think this is a really good move for the A's to get Jeffrey Springs. Jacob Lopez is a guy that I really liked with the Rays. We saw a lot of his stuff in the minors, and then when he came up to the major league level last year and this year, you're looking at a slider with a 35% whiff rate in both years. Fastball is pretty decent, but you're definitely looking at more of sometimes like a changeup, and definitely that slider is his most coveted pitch. But what are the Rays getting? The first name that I want to highlight is definitely going to be Jacob Waters, just because I think Joe Boyle and obviously Will Simpson are going to be getting a lot more traction. We're looking at just a right-handed arm, definitely known for his four-seam fastball. I believe he has a cutter. He also has a nice, I believe it's a curveball, looking at some of his film. But I'm never going to doubt a pitcher that the Rays get. I think he could definitely develop into a solid arm, and obviously the Rays are probably looking at Waters for a while now and thinking, wow, I mean, this guy might be an under-the-radar prospect, especially when we're going to get into a guy like Will Simpson. Will Simpson, I think, is a freakishly underrated prospect. He played first base and third base. I know in Jeff Passan's tweet, it was mentioned that he was being traded as an outfielder, but the majority of his playing time since he was drafted is going to be playing at first base and third base. He had a .290 average, .376 on base, .496 slugging, with a .142 WRC+, and a little over 700 plate appearances. If you go and look at this guy hit, he absolutely rakes. A huge opposite field pop, quick hands, just has a really good feel for the barrel, good feel for the zone. And like I said, all of his home runs that you see hit, I mean, are absolutely crushed. Huge pop. I think there's potential for some sneaky athleticism. If you just kind of watch his swing and the way he just kind of gets out of the box once he's able to get into his stride, I think Will Simpson could be a very, very good ball player. And we could see what he does maybe in Montgomery and eventually maybe with the Durham Bulls. And maybe he does really well. And the Rays were, you know, hey, this guy is a really underrated prospect that we really like. We've been looking at him for a while. Maybe he shows the potential that they think he could do and potentially get called up to the Rays and fill some sort of role in the next few years. But Will Simpson, I think, could be a very underrated sleeper prospect that the Rays got in this trade and was definitely getting overlooked until you really look at his numbers. You look at his hit tool. You look at his barrel just through the zone. Quick bat, good opposite field power, big frame, could be sneaky athletic. I really like this move. But who is the basically coveted or mainly talked about piece of this trade? Joe Boyle is a guy that I have talked in my Rays group chat about for several months at this point. I didn't really pay a lot of attention to him during the start of the year and even when he was in the minors. But one thing that stood out to me immediately is the fastball. Can get up to 102 consistently, you know, high 90s. And then I also saw a lot on Pitching Ninja's page when he would post about him, just, you know, wipe out sliders, potentially, you know, wipe out curveballs. But there's one thing that a lot of fans know about Joe Boyle, even if you're not really paying attention to him on a, you know, daily basis or looking into what he's doing with the Oakland Athletics in 2024. He has by far the worst walk rate in baseball at 17.7%. Last year in 47 and two-thirds innings pitched, 56 Ks, 1.72 whip, a 6.42 ERA, 4.68 FIP, just under a 25% K rate, 0.3 F4, like I said, with that 17.7% walk rate, worst Major League Baseball. If you're just looking at his just surface level face value stats, you're like, you know, why are the Rays getting a guy who has a bad FIP, field and independent pitching, just pure pitching wise, didn't perform well last year, high ERA, the worst control in Major League Baseball. I think he had a 7 walks per 9 in the minor leagues. So you're thinking, why do the Rays even get this guy if you're just kind of, you know, casually watching from a distance? But if you look into data analytics like I do, or you're just familiar with advanced profiles for pitchers, or you were looking at Joe Boyle a little bit like I was throughout 2024, looking at his pitch mix, how his arsenals were working against especially left-handed batters, you could see why the Rays wanted to get this guy. And when this trade was announced, there was a lot of people saying, you know, why are the Rays getting this guy? He has one of the worst control issues in baseball. How could they even fix this? Maybe the Rays could have gotten some more potential coveted prospects from the Oakland A's for Jeffrey Springs. I see why the Rays got him, and I think a lot of other people do as well. What makes Boyle a very interesting arm with, in my opinion, I mean, insane amount of upside? Advanced profiles that I really like, starting off, expected batting average at 215, which is in the 81st percentile. Basically, with his launch angle and exit velocity and based on the fielding of positions, 215 XBIA is really, really good. I know it's not his actual batting average, but especially when you're looking into baseball and you're looking at things that you could possibly improve on, and you're not looking at necessarily the results, but what can potentially come about if you're just consistently, you know, working with your craft, working with your pitch mix, XBA is a really good stat to look at. That 215 is absolutely fantastic. Like I said earlier, he gets up to 102, but his four-seam fastball velocity was 97.7 for his average, 96th percentile, one of the best power arms in Major League Baseball. 30.2% whiff rate, 84th percentile, a lot of swing and miss stuff on his curveball, on his fastball, especially on a devastating slider, and he actually implemented a sweeper last year. And a 4.0% barrel percentage, 95th percentile. So just kind of a little recap, you're getting a guy that throws extremely hard, has very good expected stats, especially with his projected exit velo and just the overall quality of contact that he's generating. He gets a ton of swing and miss on all of his arsenal pitches, and he doesn't allow hard contact. A 4% barrel percentage is absolutely ridiculous. And like I said, he's primarily going to do this with his four-seam fastball and his slider. One thing that I was looking at with Boyle, 2023, a 53-degree arm angle, 2024, 48-degree arm angle, and this is actually on my running from the ops Twitter account that I took a couple of screenshots and looked at some of his outings. And you could see in the minors, I mean, his arm angle is it's pretty much vertical and parallel what the catcher's head. You could see him kind of pull off a little bit, but his arm is pretty much lateral to the catcher. And then if you go into 2024, he's not pulling off as much. You could see his arm angle kind of fading to the right shoulder of the catcher. You could see it in a Pete Alonso clip where his arm angle is definitely a lot different than it was in the minors. But what did that exactly do with Boyle? He did lose some IVB on his fastball, and that's just because basically when you lower your arm angle, at times your IVB is not going to be as good, but a 16 IVB for that arm angle is still not bad at all, and you could see how much late life he is able to get on that fastball. His VAA metrics were really, really good. That is one thing that really stood out to me, was how good his VAA was, especially going into the second half of last year. He actually had the highest rise in overall VAA going into the second half of last year. But going into his fastball, 16.4 inches of IVB, 5.3% barrel percentage. He's extremely tall, 6 foot vertical release point, which is really good. And an 87.6 mile per hour exit velocity on fastball is pretty good, especially when you see guys with, you know, power arms with pretty devastating stuff like Boyle has with that wipeout slider. A lot of guys just kind of sit heater, but sub 88 fastball exit velocity is really good. And another thing that stands out for me with his fastball, the average fastball RPMs are around 2300 at 2260. His are 2497. That would put him in the 94th percentile. One of the best overall carry fastballs in Major League Baseball. You're getting a huge just power arm with Joe Boyle. Next, I kind of want to look at his slider. 20.3% called strike percentage, 35.2% called strike whiff percentage, or as known as CSW percentage. Basically, how many strikes are you getting called? How many whiffs are you generating? How many just overall swing and misses? It's a really good stat on just to show the overall quality of the pitch, and especially the results it's actually producing when he's throwing it in the zone. 19.5 ICR, 5.28 PLV, and just overall really good at limiting barrels, good amount of ground balls, and that's one thing that I really like with that slider. You're going to get those whiffs with Joe Boyle. I mean, the stuff is obviously there, but he's able to keep the ball on the ground with the slider. That means he's really, you know, putting it down in the zone. He's not leaving it hanging, and he's able to get those ground balls, which is really beneficial for his pitch count, especially since we've already talked about his walk rate is one of the worst in Major League Baseball. And I think it's just a really good way to keep hitters off of his fastball, and I think it's a good way to kind of counteract with left-handed hitters. I know that was one thing that I was talking to a few people about, especially Remy on Twitter. He's one of the most knowledgeable pitching guys when it comes to any baseball team. But he does focus a little bit on the Rays. Talked with him about it. Talked with a couple guys in my group chat, and actually my sister's boyfriend about it too. If he adds a changeup or even a splitter, it would be super beneficial towards lefties to keep him off that fastball and kind of just have that pitch towards lefties that he can kind of go to really just put them away, or, you know, to get a ground ball, double play out of the inning, or just generate weak contact when he needs to. He has a pretty good curveball, which is also good. It's kind of opposite to his slider. You're going to see a lot of fly balls with Boyle's curveball. A lot of ground balls with the slider, a lot of fly balls with that curveball. His 20.2 inches of total break is in the 83rd percentile. A lot of total movement. You're going to get 7.9 inches of horizontal break, 5.6 inches of drop, which that's where you're going to get that 20.2. And at times, it has a death ball movement. Basically, the pitch sometimes will just fall right off of the plane. You'll see it kind of coming in halfway towards, you know, maybe the pitcher's, or I should say, excuse me, the hitter's, you know, center chest, and you'll see it pretty much drop immediately towards the belt and then completely fall out of the zone. But there's one thing that Boyle struggles with. If you just go and look at his outings, especially where he's walking, I mean, sometimes 3-4 batters in a row, there's times where he looked utterly dominant, especially some people that are watching that are maybe Yankee fans or Brewers fans, and even Rays fans. I know he had a couple pretty good outings against us, so we're definitely familiar with his stuff. When he is bad, he is pulling off of his pitches, I mean, an insane amount. You'll see his slider sometimes go in the other batter's box. If you go and look at his spray charts for his fastball, it's, I mean, all over the place. It's all over the zone. You'll see a lot of them even like in the batter's box hitting the batter, a lot of just, you know, wild pitches and pass balls. But there's one thing that I think that Boyle could use to just implement a better command and just improve his command. Most tall arms, guys that are over, you know, 6'3", 6'4", your Tyler Glasnow's, your Pete Fairbanks, your Clay Holmes, your I mean, pretty much any tall pitcher in general. Even you can go back to even Dellin Betances. A lot of these guys, when they first started out, start their glove at their mid chest. Near like your pecs. But a lot of these guys can't really have a repeatable delivery doing that. I think just in my experience of helping with Division I baseball players in high school, once I tore my labrum, and just playing 16 years of baseball until I couldn't anymore, a lot of what I learned, and especially what my coaches told me, and especially talking with people inside the industry that I have on Twitter, it's very beneficial if you drop your glove near your abdomen or near your belt. I think it's really good to just get to your overall trigger and just get to your overall arm slot a lot more consistently. Boil, I think the stuff is already there. You don't really need to tinker with that. You can maybe see what that arm angle change was from, I think, the 53 to the 48 degrees, see how it affects IVB, VAA, and just his overall arsenal, and see how it affects, you know, tunneling and stuff like that. But I think if he drops his glove to his belt, like we've seen with Pete Fairbanks, Tyler Glasnow, I believe Clay Holmes started to do it with the Yankees, Dellin Betances, guys like that, that are able to drop their glove to their abdomen, to their belt, to get to that quick trigger, I think that could be very beneficial with him. I want to look at who Boyle really compares with. If you look at Joe Boyle with similar movement and velocity profiles to other major league pitchers, you're looking at Dylan Cease, Nasty, Jack Leiter, Ben Brown, Jared Jones, Logan Gilbert, and Tyler Glasnow. That is very elite company. And when you just look at the arsenal of, like, let's say a Dylan Cease, you're looking at fastballs towards the top of the zone, and you're looking at a wipeout slider. Tyler Glasnow with his curveball, but wipeout, you know, power fastball and then curveball. Jack Leiter, same thing, 100 mile an hour fastball. Logan Gilbert, you're getting, you know, splitters and off speed and stuff like that, but you're getting that curveball. Jared Jones, you're getting a power fastball and you're getting a nice, you know, slider. I know he's been tinkering with the changeup and stuff like that, but it's the same thing with Boyle. You're going to get a huge power fastball and you're going to get sliders and curveballs and occasionally a sweeper to power off of that. I would say his most likely comp is Tyler Glasnow, but it's kind of a mixture of Dylan Cease with those control issues. I know that Cease kind of improved a little bit of that last year, because 2023 he was really bad with the White Sox in terms of his command. It pretty much was near the levels of, you know, when he was really struggling early on with the White Sox. So when you have a comparison, as Joel Boyle has, to Dylan Cease, Jack Leiter, Ben Brown, Jared Jones, Logan Gilbert, Tyler Glasnow, some of these guys being, you know, top 10, 15 pitchers in Major League Baseball, it's very promising for the Rays. If you go and look at just his overall IVB metrics, you look at his pitch movement and stuff, he has a very good just overall chart. I want to look at TJ Stuff's chart for his overall Stuff metrics. I think he is one of the best over there on Twitter. If you don't follow him already, you're really missing out. TJ Stats on Twitter, absolutely phenomenal guy, and just a very good data metrics to look at for pitching. His four-seam fastball, 106 TJ Stuff plus, slider 112, curveball 100, and his sweeper is at 124 with an overall around 108. And I think if you go look at, Pitching Profiler or my guy Tim Stats on X, or if you look at Fangraphs, it might be a little bit higher or lower, but you're looking at four pitches no matter what, pretty much are going to grade above average. Three of them very above average. And especially that slider is absolutely disgusting. You're not gonna see an elite whiff rate on the four seam. I mean, definitely like 70-80th percentile. I think it could be a little bit higher with different pitch mixes. But definitely the slider, you're gonna see around 38% whiff percentage. You're gonna see that curveball around 40%. Sweeper 20-25%. But you're looking at an overall arsenal that is, I mean, absolutely ridiculous. But just an overall recap of this, I think the Rays, with just a couple of adjustments, I think especially with the mechanics, start his glove lower, maybe shift his overall axis tilt on the rubber, or maybe just overall his footing on the rubber could develop some new angles and see how his pitches just mix. I really appreciate you guys listening. Please drop any comments on other video ideas or what you think about this trade. For me, for the Rays, just to be a little lenient right now, I would definitely give it a B or B minus, but I think the potential could be, I mean, Joe Boyle could be one of the best pitchers in baseball, excuse me, if he gets his control down. But yeah, Drop some comments. Let me know what you think about the trade. Let me know about some other ideas, and I will definitely catch you guys in the next podcast episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Sleep, and she's calling a cab while he's having a smoke, and she's taking